Revelations, and it's chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. The New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with human beings, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done, and I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To those who are thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who overcome will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Amen. Blessed be the word of the Lord.
Hold on. I would like to welcome all of you this morning again.
Welcome.
It seems like everyone is about to go to bed. I welcome you all this morning again.
Welcome.
Oh, that's lovely. We're just between the beginning and the end. I mean, in the times of times. The year has just started, and let's not go to sleep yet, because we've got so many things in front of us. I just want to bring to you reminders. What do we have reminders in life for? We actually set reminders ourselves to remind us so that we do the things that we are supposed to do for whoever is in charge. It could be your wife, could be your boss, or your husband. If you don't listen to your wife, you get a kick quickly. You know what I mean? It's not that I'm afraid of Jenny, but what I'm saying is, let me tell you this. This is a fact of life. Married men listen to instructions more than anyone else.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Because if your wife says, "Are you going to wash the dishes?" If my friends are around, I say, "No, not today." But if the two of us are inside the house, sorry. I make a lot of noise. Just tell me to hold on. Oh, all right. Just Tony, good for you.
I've got it.
This one then. Thank you. Can you hear me? Oh. That is the best. Right, I was still talking about reminders in life. When you set reminders, it's either your employer, your wife, your father, or your friend. If you're having a meeting with someone, you really set out that time so that you don't disappoint the person who is actually supposed to meet you. Why do I bring this to you? I'm just reminding you, we are only in January, and we are focusing ahead the year of 2009. The last preacher last week reminded us about Christmas, how Christmas came to be, how did we have Jesus, and all that, you know, that was involved with the coming of Jesus, Jesus' birth, his death, burial, and resurrection. I also have got a few reminders of my own to you. You remember the other time I gave you the code of conduct of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to ask you about what is the code of the conduct I gave to you. But today, I bring you another code again. Maybe we won't be together for a long time. I'm not scaring you, but I'm only saying maybe. So this is one of the things you remember me with. So Kelson was once here. He gave us a code of conduct of the Holy Spirit. Today I've got another code of conduct. This is a code of conduct for inheritance. What is it? Have you heard about CTC? I think you know that one. What is that? Very good. So someone says CTC, you quickly remember, oh, it's the trains from Essex to London, isn't it? So I've got another CTC for you today. I've got 1C1313. It's not a train. It's the code of inheritance. As we are talking about inheritance today, someone will say, what is that? Can anyone pick up a Bible and open Corinthians 1, chapter 13, verse 13? The greatest of all things, it's three of them, and the one of them is the greatest. I didn't hear that. Thank you. You've seen all them hymns that we've sang today. I didn't choose them. Someone chose them. But did you see the amount of the way the word love has been mentioned and inheritance? God is actually giving us that instruction from the word go, from the Garden of Eden. Adam was given the instruction to love ever, to be in charge of all living things in the Garden of Eden. Or on earth, Adam was given that authority. What a great honor from God. Don't forget you're Adam's offspring. So that honor is on you and me. What a loving God he is. Then, here comes the instructions that I give to you. Hence, no love, no inheritance. Did you hear what I said? Hence, no love, no inheritance. Why am I saying so? Let me just take you down memory lane. You've heard about people making wills. I remember I made mine some years back when I was still in Zimbabwe. I tell you, these Zimbabwean stories make me crazy. Because one of them, I said to Jenia, when you marry me, I'll take you to Mauritius. Up to now, I haven't taken it. Anyway, how do you make a will? I've made one, and I know all the process. You go to a lawyer and all that stuff. You mention all them, the ones that you like, most will be on the top list. Am I right or wrong? Those of you who have made wills. Oh, when I die, this so-and-so will get this portion, give the house to so-and-so. But some of you have overlived their wills. The will has been made years back. And the people that you put on top list, they've got their own families now. Then there is an extended family. But you didn't include them in that will. So what do you do? Do you rewrite your will? Because some of us, like, I'm quite familiar with the Zimbabwean situation. When you make a will, or you've got your private possessions, like documents, you take them to the bank manager to look after them for you. So whenever you want any alterations or there's something you want from the documents, you go to the bank manager to withdraw the documents for a short space of time, then do your alterations and then bring them back. I can't even remember where mine is, but it's somewhere in Genia. You're on top list anyway, darling. Right. I just don't want to waste your time. Right. This journey that we are traveling today, it started in the Garden of Eden. Right? We had one coach or one umpire, whatever you call it, who was Adam, held by Eve. That was the beginning of the journey of inheritance in the Garden of Eden. God gave him all the authority. Son, this is for you and your offsprings. Do whatever you want. Rule over the earth and the seas. If my scriptures are right, I've never heard where it was said, rule the skies as well. If I'm wrong, correct me. But my scriptures say, authority was given to Adam to rule the earth. And the living things in there, some of them were made, this will be your food. Some of them will eat grass and plants. There are also some other plants for you to eat. There we go. Our ancestor Adam, he disobeys. What does he do? He doesn't follow the instructions. As married men do. He goes his own way. He disobeys God. He's tarnishing that image of the journey that God has promised his children. Recently, we had Olympics in China. Thank you. Did you see the Team GB? If you can remember, most of us were glued on TVs watching what's happening in China. And we had Team GB. Did you see the amount of medals they brought back home? They never at all disobeyed their coaches. They were listening. Hence, they had that howl of all the medals they brought back home. It's all about listening. All about obeying. Hence, in the end, they were all celebrating. Some of them were even brought before the queen to get some honors for what they had done. Because they had made the nation proud. I still go back to the authority given to us by God, especially concerning land. God even gave us the instruction to discover what's in the land, what's in the seas, without any limit, as much as we can. If that enriches us, or it makes our life easier, carry on doing it, because God has said do it. So with all these hidden treasures, truly speaking, brothers and sisters, I've heard some people saying, oh, we'll run out of fuel, or we'll run out of food, we'll run out of meat, or no vegetables. Can I ask this question? Yes, I know God created, all the creation was done within the first 6 days, and God rested on the seventh day. But did the creation end on that day? No. God gave us the authority to multiply. That is part of creation, brothers and sisters. Are you with me? God gave you the instructions. Multiply and fill this land with your offsprings. It didn't end with you alone and me. He also gave the same instructions to animals. The plants obeyed God as well. They are multiplying up today. Hence, our farmers are growing food for us. The animals are still creating, and we slaughter them day in, day out. Our God is a loving God. He keeps his promises. So, we will always have food in this land. Don't venture in the skies. I'm not discouraging the scientists who are venturing in the skies. Most of us who do follow news, we've seen a few years ago there was an American rocket which went to the moon. On its way back to Earth, it crashed and all the people perished. I feel sorry for the families of those people, and I'm not discouraging the scientist, but God has just told us what to do. Why? Those are his instructions. We are his people. We should listen to his instructions. We have all these hidden treasures. We haven't even finished them. Listen to this Arab company which owns Manchester City. They are paying a player for 200 and what?
Million.
That's all money from the ground. Oil money. The Lord, they said there's a lot of treasures in the sea and in the land that you cannot even finish. Brethren, how many of our colleagues are suffering in other parts of the world? We pay 208 to pay one player. Would you take that 100 million, especially to Zimbabwe, where there's only about 12 million? Those are not clear statistics. I'm just imagine there are 12, but with all what's happening, a lot of people have died. There's a few of them. Let's say about 9. Just get about the 100 million and say, well, Zimbabwean people, there's too much suffering there. Going back to all those scientists who go to the moon, the amount of money used on buying one rocket or making one rocket, won't this world live happily? And we say, we love each other. Let's not just say, I love you, but deep down in my heart, it's not there. Recently, world leaders met together and discussed, we want to abolish poverty, especially in the third world. Truly speaking, one rocket costs billions. To eradicate poverty, you only need millions. Why then can't we do it? Where is our love, brothers and sisters? I saw the new Jerusalem coming. Is this the new Jerusalem? God give us the power, the ability to get all these treasures from this earth and the seas so that our well-being can be improved. Are we improving it for the good of each other? Or we not? I'm really puzzled, especially when we still jump to go to Mars. The statistics say you cannot live on Mars. So why waste money going to Mars? Why? I've got no food to eat here. And they say, oh, my brother, I will help you. When are you going to help me when you're venturing in Mars? There's no life there. Are you going to carry all mankind to the moon? To Mars? No. So why? God has given you authority here. You're abandoning the authority and doing something else. Aren't you following the footsteps of your grandparent, Adam? He was given authority of all those things. He abandons that and then he's going for something else. This is what we are doing. This is what is happening. It pains my heart. Especially when I look at all these things happening. When I was preparing this service, I wanted to preach in Romans chapter 8. I prayed as I was preparing. I was at work. And then I said, God, this is what I want you to say. Or give me your service through these scriptures that I want to read. When I was praying, that chapter that we have read today was given to me. And then I had to divert my plans and I had to use revelations. Why? I cannot ask God, why have you done it? But this is what God showed me when I was preparing. He gave me that verse to show you and remind you of the new Jerusalem which is coming. The new Jerusalem is here with you. Correct it yourself. We've been told about the bride nicely dressed. Are you ready to welcome the bride? Do you have the love? If you don't, please, may you try and make your way correct with the Lord. I remember during my courting days when I was still courting Jenia. When I'm going to meet Jenia, I could dress better than what I am now. Try and impress Jenia that, oh, look, this is what I am. But after marrying Jenia, oh God, God, she even struggles to push me to go to the bathroom to have a bath. If I'd shown those colors before, I tell you she was going to say, I don't think you're the right choice for me. Can you look somewhere else? So, when the bride is coming, we must be ready to meet the bride. The bride is here with us. Are we ready to meet the bride? Are we well dressed? Our hope, our faith should be restored in ourselves before we even look to God. Do we have the hope? Do we have the love? Do we have the faith? Yes, God had faith in human beings. He gave all these things to us to prepare the way to go to meet our Father. This bride who is coming nicely dressed to us has been even promised before. The bride to me is the new Adam. Some of you will say, what's the new Adam? We only have heard about one Adam. Yes, you are right. There was the Adam who disobeyed God. But there is this Adam who obeyed God, who is the Son of God. He is the only human being who is on the side of God, who ascended to heaven in human flesh. He is sitting on beside the crown of the Lord in human flesh. These are the words of the Lord. They are not coming from me. None of the scriptures say when Jesus ascended to heaven, the body structure fell down to earth. No. He ascended to heaven and he is seated on the side, the right hand side of his Father's throne, representing you and me. In John 14 verse 1, he said, not let your hearts be troubled. I'm going up there to prepare so that when you come, everything is done for you, my brother and sister. There won't be any tears, no sorrows. It will be singing of choruses day in, day out. No council tax, no rent, no income tax to pay when we get there. The scriptures have just told us, you'll wipe out all our tears. It will be all joy. Right, we're going back now to our main context of today. As I have explained to you about will making, you put the ones that are closer to your heart on the top list. Who then is to inherit? Who does inherit? Children? That's all right. Who else? Wives. Oh, I like that. Who else? Brothers? Scriptures doesn't mention any father at all. Scriptures don't mention any father at all. As you have said, sons, daughters, and wives. Those are the three people mentioned. Inheritance. This is actually the Old Testament saying when Moses was being given instructions by the Lord. There is a rule for women to inherit, which is in Numbers 36, verse 12. If you don't mind, I will read that for you. Numbers 36, verse 12. It was actually in connection with the inheritance, not supposed to go to the different families. So inheritance runs within the families. I'll just read that verse to you. Verse 8 says, and give the following instructions to the people of Israel. If a man dies and has no children, then give his inheritance to his daughters. Did you hear that, man? If this man has got no son, give his inheritance to his daughters. That's okay. So the son has been mentioned also. Usually, they say the first son inherits whatever is the belongings of the family. So if there's no son, the next heir to the throne is who? The daughter. We've got a rule for women as well, because they are daughters, but if they are married now, they're called women. So God has instructions for that one as well. God says, when a girl is married, that's so if you remember, some of these nationals, they still marry within the family. The whole idea came from biblical instructions that the inheritance must stay within the family. So they married cousins and all. I don't want to go into that because I don't have good clues about it. But some are still doing it even today. It was all to do with inheritance, that it must stay within the family. But at no occasion was men mentioned. Why, guys? Is it because we are too harsh-handed or we rule with an iron fist? No. Our God is a fair God. You remember, we have been given all authority. So God is distributing to everyone else. He is a fair God, gentlemen. Don't get that wrong. God is fair. He has given us authority already. Now he's also distributing to other people, which is fair, according to how I say it. So how do we then come in? Because as we have seen, when you make your will for inheritance, you mention the people that you love. Can I just pose this question? You have got a throne here in Great Britain, and the Queen is the head of the throne. Am I right? If I'm wrong, correct me, because I'm not quite well versed with the British history. But the Queen is the head of the throne. Can Gilson claim part of the royal graduates? Can I? Why? Nick, what did you say? Nick said, I'm not in line for the throne. That's a good answer. And that's true fact. That is what human beings do. You don't belong to me, so you can't get any part of this. Surely. But what does God say concerning the inheritance? The scriptures tell us this. Those who received him, he gave them power even to be called children of God. Hallelujah. Those who received him, like you and me. Hence, I don't need the Queen's to be included in the line to the throne, because my God doesn't say so. On Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we were heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. It's not easy. Along the journey that I mentioned to you, which started in the Garden of Eden, there are hiccups along as we go along. Obstacles that distract you. Like Adam did. He was distracted. So the suffering that Jesus went through, you must be prepared for it. For you to be in line to the throne. So this is how we all come in now. As we suffer and receive Jesus Christ, we are in line to the throne. What then is our gain? The Lord is mine. Lamentations 3 verse 24 says, I will say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. I will hope in. Hallelujah. How do we come in? The Lord is my inheritance. I will hope in. This is how God inherited you and me. This is our inheritance that is prepared by the New Jerusalem. The bride is on the horizon. What is our life like? Are we ready to get the inheritance? If you are not, 2009 is only quarter past now. When it gets to half past, are you ready to meet the bride who is well dressed for you? He's got the inheritance. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the things that you do for us. You promised us so many, many years ago, and you have never broken down your promises. You even gave us the assurance that there is abundance of riches in the seas and the earth. Discover them to your own good use. Give us that will to do it and love one another. Let us do it for the good of mankind. I pray and leave everything before you, Lord. Amen.